Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's Matt Big Stats Frankel here, and we got an exciting interview today. As some of you guys may know, I'm a dual enrolled student at CSUN and Santa Monica College. And we're sitting here with Justina Blakeney, designer at Jungalo. This is an exciting interview. So when starting out with Jungalo, what do you think worried you the most when starting your venture?
What worried me? You know, I don't think I really thought too much about what worried me. I really started my business as a blog, and so I wasn't thinking so far ahead enough to be worried. I think I was just taking it day by day and really just experimenting and trying things out. Of course, there were challenges along the way. Eventually, I had plenty to worry about, but in the beginning, it was really just about putting the work in and experimenting and trying different things to get to where I am today.
All right. So now on the other end of the spectrum, what excited you the most about starting the venture?
I think what excited me the most was the idea of being my own boss and just being able to really lean into my own creativity and hopefully make money along the way. I've always been a bit of a dreamer, and so being able to think really big and think about how far I could take my business and take the Jungalo and all the different things we could do. Oh, we could do a Jungalo hotel. We could have the Jungalo boutique. We could have the Jungalo restaurants, just really allowing myself the luxury of dreaming.
All right. So what resources did you use to start? Where did the name come from and whatnot?
So the name Jungalo came from me hanging out with some girlfriends on my sofa in a small apartment that I rented when I first moved back to Los Angeles after living in New York and Europe for many years. And this apartment was full of plants and botanical wallpaper, and it felt very lush and jungly. And one of my girlfriends was like, "Your bungalow is so cute. It looks like a little jungle." And we were like, "Jungle bungalow." And then it was just like a light bulb hit, Jungalo. And I just loved the name. So I started calling my blog Jungalo, and it kind of snowballed from there.
All right. So what moments do you remember the most?
Well, there have been so many memorable moments. I think when my first book became a New York Times bestseller, I was just kind of in disbelief. I didn't think coffee table books could be bestsellers. So that was a huge moment for me. I have a line at Target now with Jungalo. And I think when I first got the call that Target wanted to collaborate on a multi-year partnership, that was definitely a big moment for me as well.
And who do you think helped you along the way getting this all started?
My gosh, so many people have helped me along the way and have been instrumental in me turning Jungalo from a small blog into a large brand. I now have 12 employees, including your brother.
Yep.
And so they are all really instrumental in helping me build this business. I also have just a lot of other friends who are entrepreneurs as well, and we always bounce ideas off of each other and are kind of lean on each other when we have questions or things that we don't know how to do. So that community that I have of other female entrepreneurs has been really, really instrumental in helping me grow the business to where it is today.
All right. And how do you describe yourself to others?
I describe myself as bubbly, as creative, as hardworking, as jungle-licious.
All right. So from one entrepreneur to another, what advice would you have for me?
I think clarity is extremely important when you want to be an entrepreneur. Just having clarity around what your goals are, how you're hoping to grow your business, what it would look like if your brand or business was a wild success, but also having the ability and the wherewithal to pivot when things don't go exactly as planned. So I think flexibility and being quick on your toes and being able to switch things up if they don't go exactly as you had hoped is a really important skill.
So I think that there is a lot, because apparently the next question is actually for me. And that question is, in what ways did the chosen entrepreneur confirm your beliefs and expectations? And I feel, we've known each other quite some time. I'm proud to call Justina being my cousin, and I feel like in our large extended family, we have a large number of entrepreneurs, and sometimes I feel I can relate. So not that I don't love and will do anything for my immediate family, but sometimes I feel I can even relate more to you guys, because I'm also one of those entrepreneurial mindset type of creatives, and so it's like I can relate. So I think I always knew that, but I think that this conversation has definitely confirmed that.
Very cool.
Okay. The next one. And I think I kind of answered this already. In what ways did the story motivate you? I feel like I said, we have all these entrepreneurs in our family. We come from a line of, get out there and do it, with Grant. Going back to Grandpa Art being on the board of directors with Lou Merrifield at Pick and Save, and I think somehow it's just in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is, what did you learn the most that was unexpected?
Okay.
What did I learn? I've followed the story. So I think to certain degrees, I don't know what was really unexpected versus what was just more interesting to hear from your viewpoints. So I think that that's how I'd answer that question. All right. Well, thank you. And I hope y'all enjoy this chat. It's been an honor to sit down with my cousin Justina Blakeney, founder of Jungalow.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Bye. Yes, what an honor it was to sit down with my cousin Justina Blakeney, and now we have even more women in power. We're going to close out this show later with my interview with Layla Steinberg, founder of the nonprofit Aim for the Heart. She's also in the music industry as a manager, toured with an African band, and she is known for being the first manager of legendary rapper Tupac Shakur. But before we get to that, we actually have a cool team here. They host our ladies' nights every Saturday here on Radio MSFP. Skipa, Pink Fairy, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good.
good. Pink Fairy. Yeah, she just said she's doing good. And I definitely want you both to answer this. Tell us a little bit more about your guys' show together and the type of energy you guys like to provide. And I want to hear definitely both of your viewpoints. So let's start. You know what? I know Skip is ready to speak, but let's put our co-founder of this whole MSFP. We got the queen of MSFP, Skip, but we also have the mother of MSFP, Pink Fairy. You know, we created this together, so I would love to hear from Pink Fairy actually first.
Really, I was not prepared for this, but I guess I'm kind of the mother group, make sure everyone's okay. I'm kind of the leadership, like the background, like, hey, if someone has a problem with leadership, I can provide leadership skills. And criminal justice, too.
Yes. Fairy's not only hosts the show, she's our East Coast Regional Vice President and our SIO. So when it comes down to somewhere down the line to, you know, making sure our artists have the top-notch security, when it comes to conducting those interviews, that's going to we're definitely going to be relying heavily on Pink Fairy's knowledge about that. Now, Skipper, same question. What do you feel you bring to the table, like, when you do these shows and all of this? Talk to us. What's up?
Well, for Ladies Night with Pink Fairy, and it usually happens on Saturday night, called Ladies Night. I try to bring the energy, you know, I try to bring the good music to hype up our listeners and so on, so forth. I forget if now if it's on Wednesdays or Thursday night, in the afternoon, I forget if it's Wednesdays or Thursdays that we have the MSFP crew virtual rehearsals. But when we do that, I also try to bring that energy and the hype for our listeners on Radio MSFP. I try to bring that fierce energy. Even if people can't be there when it's happening, they can always go back and listen to the recording of these radio shows. I try to stay active. And I try to be there for our fans and listeners.
Okay. So I just got a message in the group chat from Pink Fairy. She says, LOL, can I sing now? And it's sort of long range planning, but there is sort of a developmental deal. So yeah, anytime, Pink Fairy, you want to make your musical debut, you're welcome to do so.
Can Bunch Lovey be involved in it? Brett Michaels?
Stop.
That's going to take a lot of fundraising to pay for that feature. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but we're still working on raising funds for Skippa's feature with Too Short, so which
right
I just
why
Yes.
Who did Pink Fairy? Who did Pink Fairy say she wanted to sing with? I missed that part.
Kevin Duffy and Bret Michaels.
Who? Mm.
Do you want them in the? Do you want them
Kevin
in the?
Duffy?
Here's the question. Because this. Do you want them in the same song or in different songs?
Yes.
With you.
Yes.
She said
yes.
Bret Michaels. I didn't hear
and John
the first singer. She oh.
John Bon Jovi and Bret
good
Michaels.
Luck.
That could be an expensive project. Too bad Money Girl's in here. We could figure out how to raise the funds to make that a reality. And then it gets even more expensive if we want to shoot a music video for this.
Oh, yeah.
See, I still want to do a duet with Gwen Stefani, so.
Right.
No Doubt, get No Doubt on the track. All of No Doubt. I want all of No Doubt on the track.
Okay, so.
And if I can't get all of No Doubt on the track, I definitely want to do a song with Gwen. So I know that's going to take a lot of effort and money to save up for that one.
Yeah, I mean, y'all have some expensive taste for features.
Right?
I will.
Hold on.
She
said, Care Bear, I got a black dress you can borrow.
Just saying.
She said,
I'm gonna put my music
This is what Pink Fairy messaged in the group
chat.
So
you
guys are gonna She's like, Care Bear, I got a black dress you can borrow.
I mean, a little black dress goes a long way on a date night.
I know.
Yes, it does.
All right. So, what projects do you see yourself, and this again is for both of you, what projects do you see yourself getting involved in the future? We started last time with Pink Fairy. We'll start this time with Skipper.
I'm still working on my first official solo album titled See You With A Kiss. And then originally the first solo album was supposed to be Triple X Syndrome, but then I got very ill in fall of 2015, and I had to push that one back. For the time being, I had to push back Triple X Syndrome and put out See It With A Kiss before Triple X Syndrome, but Triple X Syndrome is still in the works as well. It's just, I wanted to release See It With A Kiss first because this one, you know, it talks about overcoming mental health, mental illnesses, and it has a lot of positivity, and it has a lot of songs about, you know, love and crush and fire type of songs, and some of the songs that will be on Heal With The Kids are I actually wrote during 2016 and 2017 while I was pushing myself harder and harder to overcome my mental illness and everything. And some of the songs a lot of the Skipaholics and MSFB crew fans have already heard, such as Stay Positive and In A Matter of Time. But there are some songs of which you fans have yet to be heard, of which will be on See It With A Kiss. So you gotta just, you know, stay patient, and you know, I'll start dropping more hints in my Skipa artist Instagram page, However, I have been having a little bit of trouble with my Instagram, my artist Sippa Instagram page. It's not allowing me to post any new videos, time being, because the IGTV app right now is not working. And for some reason, my Instagram app isn't allowing me to post any new pictures or any new videos directly from the Instagram app. So, I mean, so for right now, I got to do promotions through Radio MSFP, and I got to start doing more promotions through Facebook. Like, I can post new videos and stuff to my Facebook pages, but it's not allowing me to post any new videos currently to my Instagram page, so that sort of sucks. But I gotta work with what I can at this moment in time. So, you know.
And you bring up a good question that we're definitely gonna circle back to with the areas of mental health awareness and even with larger established recording artists who have struggled. One of the big things with our foundation is mental health awareness and social justice, and we're definitely circling back to that. Probably going to talk a little bit about the whole Free Britney movement and what's been going on there on that front.
Mm.
But so we will circle back to that. But Pink Fairy, so same question. Should we come back and go all, and roll with this whole mental health awareness kick first and come back to you?
It's up to y'all.
All right. So, since this show is about women in power, I don't want to take the power away from one of y'all, so I'm allowing y'all to make the executive decision.
All right. Well, I already said a lot, so it's Pink Fairy's turn. She has to talk about herself a little bit.
Okay,
well,
I'll talk about
talk
myself
a little
I'm
bit.
Excited.
I mean,
I'm so nervous.
I already said a lot, so.
I guess for me, yeah.
You definitely did.
I mean, for me personally, me and my husband have our own business. So I'm trying to hope and get free so I can become stay-at-home mom. I'm sorry, I don't work for y'all. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and be a full-time student. I don't know why I'm crying. I guess all the people, all my mentors to our company, me and my husband's company, that they all have encouraged me to go do it instead of being afraid. And they say, you have everything you have. You studied our business. Go and go do it. Go become free. Go have as many kids as you want. Come travel with us. I don't know why I'm crying.
I mean, you are definitely, you know, an entrepreneur, with high involvement in, you have your own company, your high level involvement with the entire MSFP Slindicticus Collective, and it circles back to what we were saying about the Ice House entrepreneurs just going out there and just doing it. So we were talking about that during. Yeah, so.
You gotta do it, Pink Fairy. You gotta do it.
But
trust me, we have an upline that keeps saying, go do it. Like, and he's been free since 25 years old, and he's like 35 maybe. That's my good friend. He said, hey, Daddy, I quit. I'm done. Here's my 2 weeks' notice. I'm free. And at the part, they have a retirement party. I don't know why I'm crying, but they have all the teens that come out in the office and cheer you on. And I'm going to go, Daddy, I'm free.
Don't cry.
I don't know why I'm crying. I am not an emotional person.
Yeah, that's what it takes to go far is passion. And clearly,
yes,
we all have this passion and want to go far in what we do. So we were talking about earlier about mental health awareness and like the Free Britney movement. And that's something with the Slendificus Foundation that we are large supporters of, and she definitely, and with that movement and that case, it's definitely, I mean, it falls under both mental health awareness and social justice. Ms. Spears was very brave when she was first diagnosed with bipolar and came forward and did a People magazine article about being diagnosed with bipolar and being open about her struggles. And then, then she was placed into this manipulation of the judicial system and the courts with falsified information about her mental capacity, and now she's finally free. So woohoo! And so she's finally free, and she's getting ready to write a tell-all book. It's definitely something that we're selling stuff on our Slendificus Foundation website. It's something I would definitely be interested in figuring out how we can be a wholesale vendor for that book, because it goes along with what we believe in Slendificus Foundation. And, and I'll be the first to admit she is a dream client, that would be a dream client to work with, because there's, as established recording artists go, there's no one I can see that is more in need of a company that's bred in the Splendificus movement, having them embrace what makes them and what makes her, and and it's someone that with her struggles, we've gone to similar hospitals in the past, and so it's someone that I definitely feel for. And if I did get a chance to work with her, I'd want to start out with just first off being her friend, because there's always going to be a market for when it comes to music for Britney Spears, but what she really needs is a management company and label that actually has her best interests at heart. And that hasn't always been the case with her. And she is a woman in power who deserves a lot more respect. So, I mean, but I know that Pink Fairy, you were following, you and your husband were following a little bit with the Free Britney movement. What's your take on it?
I think she was in a situation that either something happened to her when she was younger, that someone should have took her out of the situation. Whether she was mistreated sexually, emotionally, or whatever happened to her is her story. you each have a story. It's how she came out of it. People see the negative of what she did to their kids, but everybody has a story to tell. And she was trying to tell it in her music.
Right.
It's how they overcome the fighter in somebody, so they can see it. See, we all each have a fighting spirit. It doesn't matter how you want to tell it. If people are willing to tell your story, if people want to hear your story, don't buy the records or don't listen to a speaker.
Well, and we are definitely here to support Ms. Spears in whatever way we can. I would love to reach out to her publisher to see if we're able to be a retailer from our nonprofit for our online to, you know, because, you know, her story definitely aligns with our mission, our nonprofit's mission of social justice and mental health awareness. And Brittany, if you're listening, I know it's a long shot, but if you're listening, we got your back, and we hope to work with you, but we would like to start out with just being there for you, because there's been a lot of people who have tried to take advantage of Ms. Spears, and there will always be a market. But what's more important is, when it comes to artists we work with, is building them up, making sure that they don't have to stress about who on their team is trying to screw them over. This is the reason why I want to get my doctorate in music industry study, because there is a lot that is wrong and corrupt with the music industry, and it's time for a revolution. You know? So that's one of the things we would love to spark the flame for. All right, so next week, the women of MSFP on our third and final part of Women in Power are actually going to be turning the tables on me on Big Stand by the Lower.
Big Stats, I think you're breaking up a little bit, bro.
This is for all of you out there tonight, reaching for a dream. Don't ever give up. Never, never listen to anybody when they try to discourage you. If they do that, believe me.
None more than push your gears ago. Sometimes
Another powerful woman in power, Mariah Carey, coming to us live with Make It Happen from Madison Square Garden, from a performance from her fantasy tour. And some of us are doing this show on the go, and it's internet radio, and we have to call into a server, and so I apologize if there were things that were trying to be said that wasn't coming through clear before, but this is part two of three of a three-part show we're doing here on Radio MSFP's Big Stats Idle Hour. But for our third part, next Tuesday, the women of MSFP are actually going to get to turn the table and put me on the hot seat. So instead of me, so y'all get your questions ready because the women of MSFP are going to be grilling me live on air. Listen to this interview again from Miss Layla Steinberg, is there anything last message about being a woman in power that you want to declare? So last time it was Skippa, then Pink Fairy. Pink Fairy just spoke a long message. So let's give Pink Fairy a small break and let Skippa go first this time. Skippa, what is something that you would like to leave our listeners with about being a woman in power?
I don't really know. I mean, I was listening to you guys earlier when I was unavailable. I was still listening in. I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, I've had so many haters over the years. You know, I've had so many haters over the years telling me to stop rapping, that I'm not good at it and stuff, but I just, you know, I do it because I like to do it. It helps, you know, it helps to ease my stress and anxiety when on bad days, you know. I like to write my own songs, put my feelings down in lyric form, and, you know, I'm not doing it. I mean, yeah, of course I like to do it to gain new fans and stuff like that, but I mainly do it for me because it helps, you know, it's fun to me, and it helps, you know, it helps to release my emotions when I can't, you know, like, it helps me put my emotions down in songs where sometimes it's hard for me to express myself in other ways. That's how you and I met, was at a learning disability school when I was in 7th grade. You were in 11th grade. I mean, some people know that. Some of the listeners don't already know that. But, I mean, we both deal with learning disabilities. I deal with auditory processing disorder and a little bit of ADD.
All three of us do.
Yeah. I mean, But, yeah, so, like, I mean, I'm much better with controlling my auditory processing disorder now than I was when I was a teenager. Back when I was a teenager, you know, I played basketball a lot. I was on the school team, and, you know, I would always, during lunch or recess, I would be playing sports with the guys. Sometimes I would be writing in my journal, because that's when I started to write my own lyrics, was back in middle school, back in 2001. That's when I really started getting into expressing myself and you know, writing my own songs and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't always hanging out with the popular kids back then. I mean, there were some of them, some of the kids that were popular, I was friendly with, but that's because they were friendly to me, so, you know. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't always hanging out with the, you know, popular kids back then, you know. I mostly stuck with myself. You know, I loved playing handball. I loved playing basketball. And so, yeah, any of the boys back then that were on the basketball team, I was nice with, because I was on the basketball team, too. It was a co-ed basketball team back then at that school. You know, those were the fun times. I liked it.
This is for all of you out there tonight. Reaching for a dream. Don't ever give up.
My apologies on that. Mariah Carey decided to come back for a comeback. But go on.
I was like, did I miss something? I was like, I thought you were about to be playing the Layla interview already. I was like, did I miss something? It's like,
I guess you can't,
you know,
hold the diva down.
I started writing hip hop lyrics back when I was 13 years old, and as the years went on, as I, you know, experienced more things, I was able to expand the range of what to put down in my lyrics. You know, when you experience more things and, you know, you meet new people, then you're able to really expand the range of what put into song lyrics, you know. So, I mean, yeah, even back then, even though I hadn't experienced a lot of stuff back in my early teenage years, even then, I have reread some of my earlier stuff, and I was like, dude, even at that age, I was pretty good at writing song lyrics, you know. And as the years have gone by and I've gotten older, I'm able to now, you know, like, you know, I can put more thought into the delivery process and stuff like that. So that's what I try to focus on, is the delivery, the performance. I try to put as much energy as I possibly can put into the performance when we perform live in front of people, because I want to put on a good show. I want to get, whether it's a big audience or a small audience, I like to always be on point with my performance. I like to get people interactive and engaged. And I think right now that's my most important part, is getting my new songs recorded properly, mixed and mastered properly, and then when I can perform it in front of the people, you know, I like to bring the energy twice as much on the stage than I do in the studio. Like, I want, when I perform those songs, I want people to be, you know, I want their eyes to be on me. Like, I want them to really enjoy the, you know, the performance. So that's what I try to focus. That's what my main focus is on right now, is the delivery process and getting everyone engaged in the audience, so to speak. Yeah. That's all.
Right. All right. So Pink Fairy, what do you want? What would you want to leave our listeners with when it comes to being a woman in power?
See, I was still taking notes. My main goal is for me to help people to see a heart that we all warriors, and that I've been on coaches my entire life. That this do it, quit crying, quit complaining, go and hurt. That's how I feel. You might bother, but here's how coach can help you. So get in the court and go play.
Yeah.
I was doing sports my entire life. I took dance up to my injury, and I finally quit. But I still do it.
You said you took dance classes? Is that what you said?
People wrong. Yeah. Even when I got injured, I still... Okay, how can I fix it? Just move on.
I'm sorry. It's hard for me to hear you. You're sort of... I don't know if it's
she
just
takes
my,
dance classes. She's a warrior. She's saying, and you know, sometimes you know, I mean, and everyone on our, all the artists on our label have a board supervisor manager, and. Mm-hmm. Though Big Stats is an artist unto itself, there's also blogs that I do that are which are entities that are managed by our label and management firm. Pink Fairy, because you know, when it comes to my dance blog, Big Stats Dance, there's the heart of the choreographer lives within in Pink Fairy, so it only makes sense that when on that contract on those contracts that we're drafting that Pink Fairy be listed as board manager for Big Stats Dance and Skippa, she is. You know, talk about women aiding other women, you know. And in this industry, you don't hear that much about women aiding other women. You know, women are expected to be pitted against each other, but we have a predominantly female board. And Skippa is the board manager for Miss Tierra Mora. And you know, it's an amazing thing to see. So... We are gonna conclude this with an interview with Miss Layla Steinberg. There's a lead-in from one of our other founding four members of MSFP Crew, Crown, who has the intro song. This was from an older interview that I did for a project for a world music class. That Layla was my interview for. So, so next we are going to listen to a song by one of our founding four members, Crown, and this will lead into an interview with Miss Layla Steinberg, and then at the end of the interview, we'll all be back to greet y'all for the sign off. So here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bad seed. Scarred up and battered, bruised up, stolen and shattered. My whole life I got my ass whipped. A bad seed, that's what you wanted to call me. I flaunted my style out there in the mall, seat to Long Beach. Raw heat, troubles intertwined, but now I got a lot of seeds in line. Believe the dynasty is mine, these rhymes were off the time, yeah. When me and my mom was on the street, crime was still coming up with heat. Looking for a place for us to sleep, my bones got weak, nobody had no place for me. Now you know what that's gonna do to a young black man in this kaleidoscope. I'd rather hope and that's gonna make you bubble harder.
God bless that I know my father. I have twin daughters, so who wanna stab me in the spine for a couple of quotas? The struggle's orders and former reporters is open polling California. I'm tired of excuses from fallen soldiers. I'm balling on ya. Recognize when we see a bad seed. Bad seed. Open your eyes when you see a bad seed. Separated, my family faded. I hardly made it to court. My freedom pervaded. And the DA who hated me a bad seed. That's what she wanted to call me to. Because I did what them ballers do. Because I was all into living a life of crime. Speaking my mind. Spitting these rhymes. Thinking these nine bitches. And I ain't gonna lie to you. I had to do what I had to do to make a move. To blast at you if it was necessary. I wasn't very big as a little kid. Taking a swig under the bridge. Taking a fight from bigger kids. Kicking the busters in their ribs like my hitter karate did. Now who gonna be the bad seed tonight? I had to fight. So now you're gonna put me in the same category as murder stories and criminals that you see on TV. That was never me, nobody believed, but I still got a felony. I ain't the bad seed, I'm just a product of the system, G. And if you wanna judge, get the finger from me. And if you think I budge, yeah, the fuck what you think. And I won't hold a grudge if you don't hold one on me. Bad seed. Open your eyes when you see a bad seed. B-A-D-S-E-E-D. That's what you wanted to call me. I wonder why. Is it because I'm getting high? Is it because I ain't afraid to die? I wonder why you wanna hold me down. Is it because my first name is Crown? I'm putting it down. I'm moving around the town. And bad apple in the bush. I'm giving away. I'm coming about the cut. I'm opening the door. I'm slinging the door.
Yes, that was by Crown. Who was a member of well, she'll be on the line with us shortly. Let's hit you guys with one more song while we work to get her on the line with us. Or let's see if we can just get her on the line with us. We'll call again. If we get Layla on the line with us.
Hello?
Hey, Layla.
Hello? Did you just call me from another number?
Yeah. Number.
I can't really hear you. Hello?
I can hear better now. Hey.
I think
can you hear
so.
Me?
I think so. Did you just call from another number?
Yeah, this is the station number. Yeah. So, welcome to Radio MSFP's, which is brought to you guys by the Splendificus Foundation. We are honored to have Layla Steinberg on the line with us right now. This is going to be a very interesting show. All the questions I had to get proved by
Rick Alvizo at Cal State Northridge to be used for a term paper, as many of you guys know. We have Layla Steinberg, Tupac's mentor and first manager, on the line with us, and I'm honored to call her a mentor of mine as well. Welcome. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Big step. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, Layla Steinberg is an educator, a music manager, and a former touring musician with an African band. Before you called in, we played a song by one of our artists, Crown, a real interesting individual, a product of the system, constantly targeted for racial oppression by the police. We're actually working on a Save Crown project, which leads me to my first question for today is what parallels have you observed between the oppressions in Mali and Africa and racial oppressions that black rappers face here in the United States?
I wish I could have heard your question a little better. Did you say what parallels have I observed between... Say that again?
What parallels have you observed between the oppression in Mali and Africa at large and the racial oppression that the black rappers face here in the United States?
I would have to say that when we say observed, I haven't observed the oppression in Mali because I've never been to Mali. But oppression is global, and my observation is that people that are oppressed all over the world are primarily people of color, that the lines of privilege and poverty have everything to do with race and class, and that that hip-hop specifically is an eruption and a reaction to oppression and to racism and to classism and all the other isms. And it is a young black male art form that erupted in and from the streets and from a history of pain and oppression. And that oppression has traveled, and it exists in every land that has been colonized. So it is a continuation. And that's really the only way I could speak to it, because I haven't been to Mali, but I have been involved in African music and worked with African artists for a very long time. So, you know, through my learning and my reading and my relationships, I've come to know firsthand the effects and the damage caused by colonization and oppression of people, indigenous, to the lands all over the world.
Yes, and I know that they, with the griots, they were talking about how they tell the news of their lands, and there's a saying about how hip-hop is like the black CNN. And so in your experiences touring with an African band, what did you learn about the value of the Grali, the Giro, and the Dali?
Well, what I... came to understand and value and be blessed to be mentored and work with African musicians is the role of the storyteller through music, and the importance of preserving history and oral traditions and as it relates to the tribe, the community, and how information is passed through generations. And the griot is the center of that. That's the messenger that is, it's almost like the profession of the storyteller and the part of the oral tradition and the culture. And so hip-hop is, again, an extension and a continuation of the African art of storytelling with purpose, with message, with this lineage that's being passed on. So I don't know if I answered that well, but I just
you answered it amazingly. In your experiences working with Tupac and Earl Sweatshirt, what do you feel as rappers their connection was to the roots of the Mandinka tribe, or just to the music in Africa and the music of the griots and dalis?
Well, then again, you're asking some specifics that I don't feel I can answer. I can't speak for them and their connection and influence, especially of a specific tribe. But I can say that Earl is an African son. His father is South African. He understands his roots and where he came from. And Tupac, too. Both were committed to freedom, fighting oppression, fighting racism, and really understanding their lineage and from where they came, and that most people of African descent that were born in America have a history that's tied to slavery and oppression. And so I would say both of them took their responsibility seriously and understood that as artists, they had a responsibility to communicate deeper. You know, they both have something to say. They share that and understand clearly their African history.
And what is something that you've learned from touring with an African band that you have taken with you in your management of hip-hop artists?
Oh, goodness. Traveling and being mentored by African artists, you understand the role of prayer and God in your art. We never got into a van or ate a meal without recognizing that everything comes from God. And community, family, music with a message and purpose. That was really the driving force. I learned so much from my time with OJ Ekemode and his band, and many of the South African artists I was blessed to work with. So I would say that the artists I ended up doing business with and working for had somebody that was blessed to learn from African artists, because it made me a stronger, better representation for young Black artists that I ended up working with and managing early on. And morality and values and intention were a daily conversation with the Nigerian and South African artists I work with. And I carried that with me into how I handle business and I think it was important. I think we owe a lot to the African artists that came and toured here and helped really support hip-hop early on.
I agree. So if there is one thing that you could speak on about the parallels and elaborate on between the struggles that you've seen in Africa and what you've seen here stateside with the African American community, what would you say that is?
If there was one thing I could say, I don't know if there's one thing I could say, but I think that we have an opportunity to have honest conversations that help us heal, and I believe we're all obligated to understand history, to take a deeper look at race and class in this country and globally. And we are either part of the solution or we are the problem. So what I would say is that every one of us individually and collectively owe it to the planet to take the time that you're doing and have discussions and work to understand why we are so damaged. And I always go back to my work in emotional literacy. We need to take responsibility for ourselves, begin to heal ourselves, and then understand that collectively we are responsible for the healing of the planet and this imbalance and the role of finance and economics that drives racism and classism. And a lot of what I have learned as far as social justice and activism came from African artists who were fighting for their right to exist and for freedom from colonization. And it's a discussion that's difficult for people and important that we tackle it and are not afraid to have it.
I think that that's very important. We actually, in our show bio, for those who want to know more about your nonprofit, aimfortheheart.org, we actually posted a link in this episode's bio. So people who want to learn more about aimfortheheart.org can click on that link. We also have a link for those, you know, who are listening, who want to sign up for Splendificus Fest. We're raising money for social justice, mental health awareness, and the enrichment of creatives. And we're off. And people who show up for Layla's mic sessions and for heart work, if they screenshot this, we're giving a 50% discount for artists associated with AIM, and we hope to pending the approval of my team, also give a portion of what we raise back to aimfortheheart.org.
Well, thank you, Big Steph.
You're welcome, and thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you on air with us, and I am going to now play a song by our artist, Crown, called Bad Seed. This artist was clearly inspired by Tupac.
Bad Seed. Scarred up and battered, bruised up, stolen and shattered. My whole life I got my ass whipped. A bad seed, that's what you wanted to call me. I flaunted my style out there in the mall, seeds to Long Beach. Raw heat, troubles intertwined, but now I got a lot of seeds in line. Believe the dynasty is mine. These rhymes were off the time, yeah. When me and my mom was on the street, crime was still coming up with heat. Looking for a place for us to sleep, my bones got weak, nobody had no place for me. Now you know what that's gonna do to a young black man in this kaleidoscope. I'd rather hope and that's gonna make you bubble harder. God bless, I didn't know my father, I have twin daughters. So who wanna stab me in the spine for a couple of quotas? The struggle's orders and former reporters is open polling. California, I'm tired of excuses from fallen soldiers, I'm ballin' on ya. Recognize when we see a bad seed. Bad seed. Open your eyes when you see a bad seed. Separated, my family faded, the holy made it to court, my freedom forbade it. And the DA who hated me a bad seed, that's what she wanted to call me to. Because I did what them ballers do, because I was all into living a life of crime, speaking my mind, spitting these rhymes, slanging these nine bitches. And I ain't gon' lie to you, I had to do what I had to do to make a move to blast at you if it was necessary. I wasn't very big as a little kid, taking a swig under the bridge, taking a fight from bigger kids. Kicking the busters in their ribs like my hitter karate did. Now who gon' be the bad seed tonight? I had to fight. So now you're gonna put me in the same category as murder stories and criminals that you see on TV. That was never me, nobody believed, but I still caught a felony. I ain't the bad seed, I'm just the product of the system, G. And if you wanna judge, get the finger from me. And if you think I budge, hey, the fuck what you think. And I won't hold a grudge if you don't hold one on me. Bad seed. Open your eyes when you see a bad seed. B-A-D-S-E-E-D, that's what you wanted to call me. I wonder why, is it because I'm getting high? Is it because I ain't afraid to die? I wonder why you wanna hold me down? Is it because my first name is Crown? I'm putting it down, I'm moving around the town. And bad apple in the bush, I'm giving it what? I'm coming about the cut. I'm opening the doors, I'm slinging the doors, doing the thing that it's I show. Why? It's 2 in the morning, I'm sipping no Patron. You know what's going on, got my finger on the chrome. So I'll be watching my back, a bad seed. Gotta do the things, slinging them gas in a Cadillac. So follow me to the end of time, and you will find a life of crime. A bad seed. Why is everybody pointing the finger at me? Recognize you see a bad seed. I'm not the bad harvest.
That was Bad Seed by Crown. I want to once again thank our guest, Layla Steinberg, for joining us today. And hope to see you all at Splendificus Fest. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. Peace.
And we'd also like to thank, yes, you just heard a little vocal overlap, Justina Blankney and our ladies' night team. So, like you already heard me say, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on
ladies,
the flip
you
side.
Got it.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Pink Fairy, any closing remarks, or are you passed out?
I'm not passed out yet. No, I have a business conference in the background, so I'm trying to learn. I'm like, focus, sorry.
Talk about women in power. Multitasking there, getting the job done. That's what we're talking about here on this three-part series about women in power. I think next week, since we had 2 weeks where we played Layla Steinberg, for the closer for next week's show, we'll close out again on
on the Justine of Lakeney interview. And we'll catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
Peace.
Adios.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.